suffer a stroke, and he's in the hospital. They're probably going to be moving him to a rehab facility at some point, but we need to call his name to the Lord in prayer, and pray for her as well. And the Lord knows the path from here on out. He's had a year, folks. I tell you, it's been some year. And we want to call his name and her name to the Lord. And they did ask that if visitation be kept a minimum, they just asked if ministers would come and see him. And you can understand during a time like this, and so we appreciate you being considerate of that. But he needs a miracle, folks. And so we're praying the will of the Lord. And when you don't know what to pray, pray, God, let your will be done. And make a way in Jesus' name. So remember these two special needs today. We're thankful for what we feel. I'd ask the music team to sing that song today, because I feel like God has a special touch of healing and a miracle in this house for someone. And I want you to be encouraged today that even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't seem like it, don't forget that God is working in your behalf. He is making a way behind the scenes. And in his time is not our time, but in his time, it'll all come out and you'll see, oh, you were working all along, God. You were making a way all along. Praise the Lord. Located between our lungs, the vital organ known as our heart, it beats steadily away, minute after minute, pumping blood throughout our body. The study of the heart began in ancient times. We have records going back to the ancient Greeks, which show a remarkable understanding of the heart's functions even in that day. Of course, the study of the heart has developed quite significantly until cardiovascular surgery is now a daily thing in our hospitals. And good thing, because a high percentage of our population deals with heart trouble. Issues ranging from arrhythmia to heart defects, heart infections, heart attacks, and so much more. It is safe to say that heart issues rank at the top of medical problems in our world. And as important as our heart is to our physical health, of even more importance is our spiritual heart to our spiritual health. The Bible speaks much of conditions of the heart. In various scriptures, we find descriptions of a pure heart, an evil heart, a true heart, a clean heart, a broken heart. We also read of singleness of heart, and of blindness of the heart. And what encouraging direction we have regarding the heart from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Philippians 4 and 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And of course, Proverbs 3 and 5, which tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Yes, there's many scriptural teachings on the matters of the heart, but none more important than that which we find in Matthew chapter 3. There it is that we see the Lord. He is sitting by the seaside. And the Bible says great multitudes gathered around to hear him, so much so that he had to go out onto a ship. The Bible says that as he went out in the ship, he spoke to the multitudes that stood on the shore. And in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 13, we read, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Today, let's look at this familiar parable as we relate to the teachings of Jesus, and we look at four conditions of the heart. Four conditions of the heart. Jesus taught the people in stories, in parables. Really, they were word pictures. They were describing spiritual concepts and principles in everyday language. teaching people about the world to come or the kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 13, as he's seated there in the ship, he spoke to the multitude and gave them seven parables, speaking of the kingdom to come. Let's look briefly at six of those. From the last to the first, he spoke of a great net, and he pointed to a day when it would be cast into the sea, and those who are his would be separated from those who did not belong to him. And then the pearl of a great price. He taught that the value we should place on what God has done for us is above all other things. A man going about his ordinary course of business, he finds what he was looking for, a great pearl, and he sells all to purchase it. There was the treasure hidden in the field. We find that others may not even be looking for Jesus, but like the farmer plowing in the field, they happen upon the Lord. And the response, sell everything, sell all, and buy the field. And there was the leaven. This is how God's Spirit works and his kingdom, his lordship in our life. It might be invisible, like yeast working through the dough, like the leaven working in the bread, but it is definitely there. He is working and he is spreading throughout our life, making an obvious impact. Don't forget the mustard seed today. We find that God starts with small things and he makes them great. Is anybody thankful for that promise today? Praise the Lord. The field and the tares. In this parable, in this story, we find that God allows the real to grow alongside the fake and the false, and only to be revealed at the final harvest. What a challenge to us. What a challenge to the church. God forbid that we be growing along, looking like weak, looking the part, acting the part, but it be revealed in the end that we're only a tare. We're lacking in the harvest. We're just a false way. And then there is the parable of the sower. It's the longest of the parables, and Jesus would speak of things relating to the people that he was present with. He had a great way of talking to people on their level. He talked about the army to a soldier. He discussed legal matters to a lawyer. He talked about the sea to a fisherman. He knows how to relate to each one of us where we're at. And on this particular day, perhaps off in the distance, perhaps there among or in the sight of the multitude, Jesus, he sees a man sowing the seed in his field. Perhaps he raises his hand and directs the multitude's attention as he begins to teach. The parable of the sower could rightly be called not the parable of the sower, but the parable of the soil. For Jesus revealed how in that same particular field there are different types of soil. Some was hard and some was stony and some thorny and some good. Not all brought forth the same harvest. The difference, though, was not the fault of the sower. The problem, it did not dwell within the seed, but within the soil there was something that determined the results. I've come to preach today to all of us here that in all of our hearts lies the results of the harvest. The seed is all the same, but our response, our reception of the word, our heart's condition, it holds the key to the harvest in our life. How important today that we receive the seed from the word of God. Oh, this message of the word of God, it is sown. It is sown in different ways, but the success in the message is in how we hear it, in how we receive it, and how it produces fruit within us. No wonder the Lord closes this parable with Matthew 13 and 9. He says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." I pray that we'd hear your voice today speaking to us. Come on, does anybody want to be a ready receiver of the word? Does anybody want to be good ground today to find a place for the word of God in your heart? Come on, so it can grow into fruit in our lives. I tell you today, the seed is the same. The sower is the same. But what makes the difference in the harvest is the ability of the heart to receive the word. What is the condition of our heart? So many times we can get the attitude, well, I'm here, God. I showed up to church. It was a job getting here. And I'm here now, Lord. I want you to bless me. Praise team, sing my favorite song. Pastor, entertain me with the preaching. Bless me, Lord. If we're not producing fruit, we can't blame everybody else. It's a condition of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. What's the condition of our heart? What's the matter of our heart? I've got to be receptive to the seed of the word of God. Hear then the story of the sower. It was time to plant. And before the days of sophisticated farm machinery, fields were planted by an individual who would go and he would cast out the seed. He would cast out the corn into the face of the wind, and the wind would spread his seed across that field. Some of the seed, it fell by the wayside, and it was on the dry and the hard, the trampled ground. The seed was immediately snatched up by the fowls of the air. Other seed, it fell upon stony places where there wasn't much soil, and that seed initially, it germinated and it began to grow, but then the Bible says the hot sun scorched the tender shoots. And because those roots couldn't dig deep, they withered away. Still other seed, it fell among thorns, and the thorns eventually choked out the life of the tender plants. Finally, though, there was some seed that settled on good ground, and it brought forth much fruit. It paid back the farmer for all of the other ground, but that good ground brought forth 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Who was the sower in the story? It was Jesus. What was the seed? It was God's word. And since the soil is a key player here, what types of soil were represented? The hard ground, the stony, the thorny, finally the good ground. And the ground represents the condition of the heart. The ground, yes, there's four types of souls, but soil, but there's four conditions of the heart. There's the impenetrable heart. There's the superficial heart. There's the preoccupied heart. And finally, the prepared heart. The seed is the same. The sower is the same. It's in the condition of the heart. Let's look at these conditions today. First of all, we see the impenetrable heart. This is the hard wayside where people have walked along the edge of the field. It was so impacted. It was so crusted over. It was so hardened that when the tiny seed fell there, perhaps it was crushed underfoot or maybe by a wagon that passed along or the scavengers of the air would come and carry it away. And indeed, there's some who respond the same way to God's word today. After the sower sows, after the word of God goes forth, they leave at the close of service. They're talking about the music or talking about how the preaching was irrelevant to them. Or maybe they nodded their head in enjoyment at the message, but they knew it wasn't for them. It was for their neighbor. How many times, not at this church, but how many times have I been preaching, again, not at this church, but and I'm preaching on something and somebody's, amen, pastor, that's good, that's good. And I know it's directly to their situation, but it's not for them, it's for everybody else around. Only one thing is wrong here. It's the soil. Their heart has been hardened. Sometimes over years and years that it's been impacted and it's hardened and it cannot receive the seed. It cannot receive the word of God. But doesn't God harden hearts? You remember old Pharaoh. But it wasn't, his heart was hardened. We've got to realize today, the gospel can make hearts tender. But if we don't receive it right, it can harden our heart as well. Pharaoh was not interested in receiving the word of the Lord. Pharaoh was not interested in playing along with God's plan. Pharaoh had his own interest in mind, and so God hardened his heart. I tell you today, I don't want to be in the group of people that when the gospel is sown into my life, I don't receive it, and I harden my heart so that even the most tender brush of an angel's wing can't even melt the iciness of my heart. How does the heart get hard? Perhaps it was a crisis. Maybe a spiritual battle that we went through. Maybe a struggle somewhere in our past. Maybe we walked in a low valley somewhere, and maybe we relied on others and they forsook us. Or maybe we just had sin grab a hold of us. But I tell you today, we've got to take a condition of our heart. And if our heart is hardened, then we've got to say, God, I pray that you'd stir something up. And I pray that you would open my heart for what you want to do. We can get callous to hearing the word of God and not obeying it. The more we hear God's word, the more we refuse to obey it, the harder our heart becomes. To refuse God is to have our eyes darkened. To refuse God is to obey the voice of our flesh. God, help us to hear your word and to receive it today. The hardened heart, the impenetrable heart. Next, we see the superficial heart. This is the soil where the seed takes root, and it does well for a while, but soon it withers away. There are some who they rush in to the kingdom of God and they say, Lord, this is what I want. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to do whatever you call me to do. And they're so eager and they're so enthusiastic for a while. But soon, though, they bow out. Did they respond too fast? Oh, no, we can never respond fast enough to Jesus Christ. Did they have too much zeal? Oh, no, it's good to have zeal and excitement and passion. The trouble was they were as quick to quit as they were to begin. They were shallow. They were superficial. They wanted to live in the realm of emotions rather than convictions. They felt the presence of God. They responded to the moving of His Spirit. But once it got into the Word and there was actually things in their life that they needed to change, the shallowness would not allow for true change in them. They listened to the voice of convenience rather than the voice of God. They were forever asking themselves, what do I feel like doing rather than actually what does God call me to do? How do I feel? What about me? What about my dreams? What about my plans? What about my preferences? Instead of God, what would you ask of me? God, what way would you direct me? Lord, what is your plan? We read about the sun here. The sun withered these tender plants. But the sun isn't the plant's enemy. The sun is a plant's friend. The same sun that melts wax also hardens the clay. The problem then is not with the sun. The problem is with the soil. The problem is with our heart. The problem isn't out there somewhere. It's right here. Within each of us, we all have an element of superficially, where we'd rather play than work. We'd rather listen to our feelings rather than the voice of God. We'd rather follow the course of least resistance. Help our heart today. And then there's the preoccupied heart, the thorny ground, choked by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. How many of us are so preoccupied with so much stuff? We're preoccupied with work. We're preoccupied with life. We're preoccupied with hobbies. We're preoccupied with hunting. We're missing some hunters today. I hope their gun doesn't freeze up right when that big... Did I say that? Preoccupied with whatever it could be. Choked by the desires of this world, choked by the cares of this life, choked by the deceitfulness of riches, and they're preoccupied so that the word of God can't find a place of root and can't produce fruit in them. Oh, Martha, Martha, yes, yes, you're preoccupied with all of the serving and all of this and that, but there's a Lord. Your Lord and Savior's in your house. You need to hear his voice speaking to your heart. Oh, that rich young ruler, he thought he had what it took. He thought he had the desire there. He said, Lord, what does it require of me? And the Lord said, you need to go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And it struck that man's heart because he was preoccupied with riches. We can be preoccupied with pleasures. We can be preoccupied with hurts and things of life. We can be preoccupied with family and things that yes, it's important, but we've got to put the Lord first in our life. And we can't allow those things to choke out the word of God in us. Finally, today we see the prepared heart. At last we see that good ground. What does the good ground represent? It speaks of a prepared heart, a heart that's ready to receive the word of God. It can also be described as an open heart. You don't go out and just cast the seed in the ground that hasn't been plowed. And you don't go out and just spill it all over and take the bags and just rip it open and put that on the ground and assume it's going to grow. No, that ground has to be prepared. That ground has to be plowed. You got to get the weeds out. You got to do some work of preparation. I tell you today, we need an open heart. I pray that you would prepare my heart. Help me, Lord. Prepare me to hear your word. That's why we don't come into service and just... From the very beginning, we just start preaching the word. We could do that, and there's power in the word, but there's something about when there's an atmosphere of praise and worship. It's preparing our heart. It's opening our heart to his spirit. That's why it's important for us to come with an open heart. Lord, I want you to do a work in me. I want you to speak to my heart today. Pastor, we can't change the condition of our heart. It is what it is. If we have a hard heart, an impenetrable heart, if we have a superficial heart, if we have a preoccupied heart, there's nothing that we can do that about that. Not so. The beautiful farms that you see spanning across the United States, they weren't always a lush green plain that you see now. They were once rocky places. Rocky places. The boys and I went hunting yesterday, and we've been hunting in a certain area, and it is so difficult to get into that area and to get out because it's all of these rocks. If someone was ever to make a farm there, they'd have their work cut out for them for years and years. But farmers went and worked that field. They rooted out the stones, and any farmer will tell you, contrary to the law of gravity, there's something about those stones, how they rise up in a field, and the frozen ground, it lifts those stones to the surface. For a farmer to have a great harvest, there's work to be done. We can't just assume, preacher, preach to me. You make it all happen. Song service, praise team, you just make it happen in my heart. No, there's got to be work in our own life. I've got to prepare my heart. I've got to come to pre-service prayer. I've got to worship God with my whole heart. There's work to be done. We've got to till the soil. We've got to get out the weeds. We've got to prepare the ground for what God wants to do. How do I do that? I don't know any better way than to prepare it through prayer. God, help our prayer life. God, let it be more than just a superficial thing. Let it be more than just a passing thought. But God, let it be something that's very real and very important and high priority to us, God, so that you can get into my heart and you begin to work on me. I tell you, when you're praying and you get lost in the Spirit, that the Spirit of God begins to work and he begins to move and he'll challenge our heart and he'll reach way down deep inside to places that we didn't even know were there. We've got to prepare the ground through prayer. We've got to prepare the ground through faithful attendance to the house of God. I want to tell you, there's many times that it's that service that was just for us. It was that sermon that was meant just for our situation. It was that song that had the answer that we needed. And the enemy saw ahead through time, and he knew that there were some things that were planned, and he didn't know exactly what all God was going to do, but he knew something was up in the spirit. And so he did everything he could to cause a flat tire and everything he could to get our spirit wrong and our attitude wrong, because it was that service that had the answer that God had prepared for us. We've got to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We prepare through Bible reading, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many times have you been reading the word of God and you'd look down at a scripture that you've read time and time and time again, and all of a sudden it's like it jumps out at you in bold print and it has some kind of direct revelation for what you're going through and where you are. Maybe something you hadn't even considered, but God spoke to you through his word. We've got to have an open heart. We've got to have a prepared heart. We've got to have a mind that says, Lord, I've got to have you more than anything else. Would you stand with me in closing today? Dr. Wiggins, I wonder if you'd come and help me just a moment. Thankful for my friend. Thankful for his leadership, his service here at this church. Those of you that don't know Brother Wiggins, his other work includes working with hearts. These hands here have touched what keeps us ticking. These hands here have operated on some of you. I pray I never have to have that, but I couldn't think of a better one. I've heard the stories of nurses that have said, oh, we love Dr. Wiggins. When he gets up against a situation he doesn't know what to do, he stops and prays. And the Lord answers and gives him answers. Amen. I don't mean this in any way to embarrass him or put him on the spot, but here's the only illustration I have. These hands, just hold your hands out. These hands have the ability to work in the physical on our heart conditions. How important that is, but oh, there's some other hands in this house today that have the ability to reach down into our hearts. Things that can't be seen in the physical, but things that are very real. I believe that God wants to tenderly begin to work to soften our hearts, to bring healing to lives here today, to make a way where there seemeth to be no other way. Thank you. It's all about the heart. I'm convinced of this. Why do some people make it and some people don't? It's all about the heart. Why do some people fail? And fail and fail and fail. But they get back up. I'm convinced it's all about our heart. There's others that fail, and somewhere along the way, bitterness sets in. And hardness crusts over. And the same word is fallen upon both hearts. But one receives it and one can't. It's all about the heart. Parents, I don't know what to do. I'm still figuring this out. But somehow we've got to instill in our children, no matter what you go through, have an open heart to what God's Spirit would want to do. There's some of you that are not young people anymore. Some of us, dare I say, that aren't young people anymore. We've got to be so careful that life and circumstance and failures and problems and situations and heartaches and troubles don't harden our heart. Because isn't a service just like this that, yes, I know we had a great time of worship, but I believe it was all directed to this point in time right now where God's Word wants to minister to somebody's heart. Hallelujah. I wonder if across this house we'd all bow our heads and close our eyes. I wonder if we'd let the Holy Ghost begin to examine our heart right now. Hallelujah. What's the condition of my heart, God? Is it a hardened heart? Is it a stony heart? Is it a thorny heart? Or God, is it a good heart? And I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to release every bit of bitterness, every bit of unforgiveness, every bit of hurt and pain. Every time that I've disobeyed your word and it added another layer of crust there, God. Every time I felt your spirit reaching for me, for some reason I didn't want people to think I was backslid, or I didn't want people to think I didn't have it all together, and so I closed it off. And I didn't respond to the tugging of the Holy Ghost, and it added another layer of hardness. God, I pray that you'd reach past that right now and begin to soften my heart. Prepare my heart for what you want to do right now in this service in Jesus' name. Lord, I release every bit of bitterness. I release every bit of unforgiveness. I don't know exactly how to do it, but Lord, I release it to you, and I pray that you'd remove that from me right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, all across this house, the Lord is moving. It's all about our heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What's the condition of our hearts today? I don't know about you, but I want to find a place of prayer right now and say, God, help my heart to be open to your word. Lord, help my heart to be prepared for what you want to do in it right now. Maybe it's been years since you yielded to the presence of the Lord. Truly yielded to what God wants to do in you, but right now would be a good time. Come on, right now would be a good time as His presence is sweetly moving through this house. Would you let God begin to reach in and do an operation on your heart today? Hallelujah. Would you let Him begin to move in the Spirit right now and heal some things that are there that maybe nobody else knows about, but God wants to minister to right now? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Move upon my heart. Move upon the condition of my heart. Help my heart, oh God. Oh God, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's see it all across this house. Come on, there's a spiritual surgery happening right now. There's a spiritual move that's happening right now. Come on, this is what we need.
Lord, I need you to move upon my heart. I need you to minister into my heart. I open my heart for what you want to do, God. I receive your word with gladness today, Lord. I want to bring forth fruit. I want to bring forth the harvest, Lord. Help me to be open to what you want to do through me. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I feel like the Spirit of God wants to speak so directly to someone right now that if you'd open your heart, you would hear the voice of God. You would hear the voice of God, and I feel like God wants to point out something in your heart right now that if you'd release that and you let that go, that God wants to heal that place in your heart right now. If you listen, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to hear you right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you.